Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports, David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app, along with Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood with you, Cap, and Danny and JR off for the Jewish holidays with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
My friend, I am so happy to be here. You know, I feel some pressure. Can I be honest with you?
Why?
I feel some pressure because when you and I did our national show for all those years, we were like two guys with Hawaiian shirts on, you know, unbuttoned, mesh shorts, old flip-flops, haven't shaved in a couple of days. This show is like Men in Blazers. I mean, this is like classed up morning radio. I don't know what to do.
You know what to do. You just put sentences together, and then at 10 o'clock you say, boy, that went by fast. Or with me, very slow.
We have rundowns. We have clocks. Yes. We have guests. I'm like, what is all this stuff? It's all so foreign to me.
Well, it's responsibility. You know, we're all grown up now, you see. That's what's happened. It's a responsibility. I have to be able to work with Cap. You know how it is. I got to make sure that Cap has got his, you know, got his binky and he's got his sippy cup and make sure he's ready to go at 7 o'clock. I don't have that responsibility today. My friend is having a good time with the Jewish holidays, and he'll be back on Friday.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this margarita I poured at 5:30 in the morning when I woke up. I have to give it to my mom, I guess, when she wakes up.
Well, that's our usual fare, right? That's exactly what we would normally do. But in this case, my friend, we've got plenty to talk about, including what's going on with your beat with the Chicago Bears. And I, it's interesting, Jeff. Coming into the season, I didn't have a lot of expectations because of the question marks. Not necessarily negative, but question marks about the team. Like, my first thing I've been talking about all summer is my thoughts about the defense, right? How often have you written a column where you say, boy, this defense just is not getting it done? Because usually the defense is the strength of the team and the offense usually sucks. But in this case, I think we're getting a little bit of both.
Typically speaking, I think everyone felt that for the team to be really good, the defense was going to have to play at a very high level. And there was a chance that could happen when you look at the personnel on the roster. And I know there are question marks. I know that, you know, Trevathan is on IR to begin the year. Mm-hmm. I know that Robert Quinn is a roll of the dice. I know that they have some holes in their secondary. They have a new nickel in Marquis Christian.
Whoop. What was that? What was he talking about? He's talking about the secondary, wasn't he? Ah, the Bears cut him off. You see that? You see what happens, folks? He starts talking about the Bears in a negative way, and then House Hall just clips him. That's what happens. They just clip his line. Well, as I mentioned, one of the things that, and we'll talk to JD in just a moment, one of the things that is an issue with this football team is that it doesn't have balance. For me, as a Bears fan, all I've ever wanted is to be able to see balance on both sides of the ball. Very few teams in the NFL has it, but I like for the Bears to be able to have that. I'll give you an example. When we see what we saw offensively, in which the Bears did not throw the ball more than 20 yards and didn't have deep plays, splash plays, as Mike Tomlin would say, when you don't have those splash plays, that's a major issue. It's a major issue because, to me, you have to be able to take some shots. And I read several columns, in which we'll review within the framework of our show, about how the Bears couldn't or would not take deep shots because of the Rams defense. And I say that's nonsense. If you can't throw a ball more than 15 yards, 20 yards down the field, at least take some shots, that's a major problem. And also, that would tell me if you can't do it against the Rams defense, then the Rams will win the Super Bowl, right? I mean, if they're so good that you can't make big plays against that defense, at least try to, that means the Rams are all world. And you and I both know that's not the case. But what I look at here with this team, when it comes to the Bears is the defensive woes and the lack of offensive identity. You've got to be able to identify exactly what the offense is in five words or less, right? It's like marketing. You should be able to know exactly what you are as a team. And with this, with Matt Nagy's team, I'm not sure exactly who they are yet. Are they an offensive team? Are they a defensive team? If it's about defense, then how come we have not seen it for the last couple of seasons? That's my issue. For as far as the defense is concerned, all the names that we know, whether it's Roquan Smith, whether it's Khalil Mack, we talk about Robert Quinn, all these, I think, solid players on defense should be able to pay dividends for this team. They should be able to take another step and say, we're going to get after the quarterback and at least make him uncomfortable. You saw last Sunday's game. Did you think that the defense made Stafford uncomfortable? And that's my point. When you have to choose one or the other, and Tyler, we can open the phone lines at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. You know, JD, to me, the defensive woes, I can't say that I'm surprised, but I because we've seen a lack of offensive identity for this team for a while, but the defensive woes, that's the thing that's troublesome to me because I think that's a slippery slope for the future for this football team. I don't know how that gets better.
I got to be careful here. I didn't know my line was tapped. I can't believe that. I start talking about the secondary, and they snipped it,
yeah.
For lack of a better word, if you'll excuse the phrase right there. I mean, wow. Yeah, well, the defense has got to get better. It just has to. I mean, you're paying too much money to Eddie Jackson, to Khalil Mack, to Akeem Hicks. I mean, these are frontline earners in the NFL. It has to get better. That's the only way. Because, Jonathan, the offense is not to the point where you can sit back and say, okay, guys, go win us a game.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine saying that? I mean, when you're playing a good team, right? Can you imagine saying, okay, offense, go out there and get it done for us. Beat the Packers or beat the Steelers or beat the Raiders, whomever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that we're going to get to that point for a long time, maybe not this year. So if the defense continues to play the way it played against the Rams, this team is in a lot of trouble, and the season is already in some big-time peril.
So here's what I was thinking about Akeem Hicks, because I know he's in a contract year. And he was trying to burst through, just trying to get himself on the board. He gets a half sack along with Quinn in the Rams game. What I'm thinking is that if you're the Bears and you look at your defense and you say, boy, if the defense under Desai is not any better than it was under Pagano, it makes you wonder about the future of this defense, right? Like, as I always say, you look at the depth chart, who wouldn't want to have Hicks, Goldman? Who wouldn't want to have Khalil Mack? Who wouldn't want to have Robert Quinn, Roquan Smith? Who wouldn't want to have some of these players? But, JD, I'm not saying that the Bears need to, you know, trash this defense for the future, but I'm saying that even though it's the average age of the starters are 24, it didn't seem that way. If you're not getting penetration, if you're not even hurrying the quarterback, it makes me wonder about whether or not this unit needs to stay together for the long haul.
Let's put it this way. Time has begun to run out. It hasn't run out yet, but it's begun to run out. They're not in good shape salary cap wise. Otherwise, they wouldn't have had to have, you know, restructured Jimmy Graham's deal last week and pushed some of that money off to next year, which doesn't seem like that's a real realistic thing that he's going to be on the team next year after he played, what, 14 snaps, I think, against the Rams. They're going to have to eventually shed some of these big contracts. I mean, like I said, there are a lot of players specifically on defense that are eating up a lot of salary cap space. If they don't win this year, how much longer can you keep holding these guys over, holding them over, when you know that there are so many other pieces on this roster that you have to address? So, I mean, I just feel like the urgency has to be there. This is a tough game against the Bengals on Sunday. They're coming into Chicago feeling really good. Joe Burrow is strutting around that building going, woo! After watching that Bears game on Sunday night, he's like, oh, I got this, guys. We got this against Chicago. They got to find a way, no matter how ugly it is, they got to find a way to get to 1-1 because if they're 0-2 and then going to Cleveland, formerly a terrible franchise, now a good franchise, if they're going to Cleveland 0-2, Jonathan, come on. Think about the tenor of those shows next week. That's going to be a lot of despair.
Now, there might be a slippery slope with this now, right? 17 weeks. Now, before, 0-2 would be the death knell. But what about it with 17 weeks? Can't we move that to 0-3 now with the extra week?
We could. Yeah. We could. But here's the thing. I mean, if you look at their schedule, it sets up for them to win a couple of games early. They're going to beat the Lions. I mean, the Lions are horrendous. I mean, I was watching. I was surprised we got that game in L.A. on Fox. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no one has anything better to show than the Niners and the Lions. But, you know, the Lions look as bad as you remember them looking. So they're going to beat Detroit. But the Raiders game, you just never know with them. You know, they had a game, I thought, against the Raiders a couple of years ago in London that was a defining game. It could have gone either way. They did start their backup quarterback in Chase Daniel, and they lost that game. And the season kind of spun out of control after that. And then you look at coming up, they've got, you know, they've got the Steelers on the schedule. They've got the Ravens on the schedule. They've got the Packers twice on the schedule. So, I mean, it's not going to be easy, but they just can't afford to dig themselves too big of a hole, because then they're going to have to make the quarterback change, maybe even if he's not ready, and then who knows what happens after that.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. JD and I want to ask you, regarding this football team with the Bears, you know, what is more troublesome to you as a Bears fan? What's worse about the Bears to you? Is it the lack of offensive identity, or is it the Bears' defensive woes? Now, I'm leaning toward the defense here because it's something that I thought that I would see something better from. I would, you know, with all the question marks about, well, you know, how come Khalil Mack can't get to the quarterback and all that? I mean, he was non-existent as far as getting on the board. I think officially one tackle, correct?
One assisted tackle.
I mean, so are we going to do the whole he was double teamed again? I mean, and by the way, if that is the case, others should be able to be free to get to the quarterback, and we did not see that in abundance against Stafford.
Yeah, I mean, why isn't Robert Quinn raising hell if that's the case? Mm-hmm. Robert Quinn, it looked like to me, going back and watching it, was single blocked most of the game. They did not really respect him much as someone they thought was going to bring a lot of heat from the outside.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward the defense. I don't know about you. Again, offensively, what we see from Andy Dalton is what I expected. And I know that he's not necessarily a deep ball threat, JD, so I'm not expecting him to be all world, but I expect for Nagy to take some shots at the very least. When we continue to read, like, well, the Bears couldn't really get down the field offensively, cannot take shots because of how strong the Rams' defense is, well, then the Rams should be in the Super Bowl then. I mean, if they're so strong that you can't take deep shots, then that's a Super Bowl contender, apparently.
Yeah, well, I mean, they were worried about the pass protection. They did not think the ball could be held long back there in the pocket. It was a confluence of things that worked against them. But I'm with you. I expected the offense to be slow to begin the year. Mm-hmm. I did not expect the defense to have not just a collapse. I'm talking about epic collapses in coverage. That simply can't happen at any level of football.
So the lack of offensive identity or the Bears' defensive woes, what's worse for you personally as a Bears fan? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. You can watch a show on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/ESPN1000, and it's up on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Cap J Hood. With JD in for Cap, I'm Jonathan Hood. We'll take your phone calls, and also coming up next, we'll hear from a former GM who's not happy with the Bears' offense at all. Cap and J Hood right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Along with Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood with you here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Cap has the day off for the Jewish holidays. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. As JD and I ask the question to you, what is more troublesome for you as a Bears fan, the defensive woes or the offense and its ineptitude? By the way, Andy Dalton, averaged 4.29 air yards per pass in Los Angeles. That ranked 31st among 32 quarterbacks in week one. The Falcons were the only other team in the league with zero passes that went for at least 20 yards. It tells you all you need to know, JD.
Can I tell you something? Can I share some insight with you?
Oh, yes.
At training camp, they were throwing the ball deep a lot. Now, what's the difference between training camp and the regular season? The difference is you can't hit the quarterback in training camp, right? And you have to let him follow through with his throw. So believe me when I say that they would like to go deep, that Andy Dalton can throw a pretty nice deep ball. I saw it with these very eyes. But doing it in practice and then doing it in a game when your offensive line is under the gun to protect you and the receivers have to get open and run past the secondary, those are two entirely different things. And the Bears have figured out the first one, the practice deep ball. They just have to figure out the actual game deep ball.
You'll hear from Mike Lombardi, longtime GM in the NFL, now part of a podcast called The GM Shuffle with Adnan Burke. Lombardi with some strong thoughts about Matt Nagy and the offense we'll get to in just a moment. But let's give the phone lines and talk to you, the Bears fan. 312-332-ESPN 332-3776 is our phone number. Perry is in Maywood right here on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Perry.
Hey, good morning. It's Paris, but it's cool. What's going on, man?
Hi, Paris.
What's going on, guys? Hey, appreciate you guys for answering my call. Appreciate you guys for doing this every morning, you know, going through the stresses of the Bears stress and everything as far as offense and defense. But anyway, let's get to it. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say everything. The Bears don't have an actual identity at all, like zero identity. And it's like the same. It's like watching a season within a loop every single year. You pay attention to the offseason. They do these random promises and say, yeah, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then the first game comes out, and we just get blown out of the water. And, I was sitting at the bar watching the game with my friends, and I called it every third down. I said, watch Nagy, we're here. Like, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 14, I bet you 9 times out of 10 is going to be a bubble screen or run. And it's no progression in our offense whatsoever. The defense, I knew our defense would eventually fall to a feces frenzy because we end up losing our top cornerback and Fuller. And it's just like, what did we expect in the season opener? Even if it was against the Rams, and I think next week we're going to get smacked again towards Cincinnati because Joe Burrow is looking like a very good quarterback, and his offensive threats are very nice as far as receivers and have that and Joe Mixon. But it's just like, come on, man. Every time I see a third and whatever pass 10, I'm always going relaying right back to Nagy saying, hey, I know how to play football. I'm not a stupid guy.
Yeah, but, the thing is, if you think third down is bad, peep the fourth down. Even worse.
Well, here's the issue there. And I'll give Paris and everyone an identity that Bears should have or should think about forging. Why can't they be a great running team with David Montgomery? Now, here's a guy that can really play.
Sure.
And they figured out some really nice blocking schemes for him against a good Rams defense, okay? Why can't they focus more on running the football with one of their best players on offense? And when you get to, like, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, those are almost always going to be losing downs for the offense, so I don't expect anything. Now, Jonathan, here's where I'll – and you mentioned this. Here's where I'll expect – where I will expect something else. When you're at 4th and 3, okay, or 4th and 4 – why is that automatically a pass?
Good question, especially on 4th and short.
I'm talking about 4th and 3, 4th and 4. And on one of those 4th downs, they go empty backfield. And I'm sitting there saying, now, wait a minute. You got Montgomery, who at that point I think had 3 carries for 57 yards. Clearly, he's running downhill. The offensive line is getting off the ball. You've got some good run plays called. Why not make that the identity of your team and your offense as opposed to always trying to win games throwing the football?
Because that's the Kansas City offense. That's what Nagy, he wants the ball in the air. You've been around Nagy enough to know that that's what he wants. I would say that if Montgomery rips off a long run, why run away from the running game, right? Why don't you give it to him again? Unless he's tapping out. Point is, though, is that if you have a defense on their heels, why not have consecutive run plays? Why in your cheat sheet of scripted plays must you have the Cordero Patterson play of negative yardage? You know, that pass that goes backwards? that doesn't work.
No. And I would also argue this. I realize that the Bears have been behind a lot in games, right?
Sure.
And typically speaking, you feel like, okay, that's going to necessitate you to throw the ball more. And I think Matt Nagy has said that, and Bill Lazor has said that. It's not ideal, but they kind of feel like that's just been their reality based on where the score has been.
I don't even know why you just don't show up in the second quarter. Because you know they're not going to score in the first, so just show up in the second.
Right, but even if you're behind by a touchdown or two, you can still run the football.
Sure.
I mean, if that's the best thing you do, why not do it over and over and over? And at least, Jonathan, at least make the Rams or whoever you're playing, make them stop you. Don't just organically go away from it and then come back to it, you know, 8 minutes later. I mean, I just don't know. I think Montgomery looked great. I think the line blocked very well for him in that game. I just feel like if he's got a hot hand, I'd rather see them feed him than throw the ball 45, 50 times a game.
Paris, we appreciate your phone call. And now, you see, he leaves the line open. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Joe in Antioch, as we talk Bears here on ESPN 1000. Hi, Joe. Joe? Joe is not there. We indeed, instead, we go to Freddie and Elgin on ESPN 1000 with Jay Hood and JD. Hello, Fred.
Hey, Jay Hood. Hey, JD. Hey, guys. Just wanted to say I appreciate the phone call and keep up the hard work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So I'm glad that you mentioned the whole Cordell Patterson play, because after a certain amount of time, you start realizing, okay, bubble screens, I get it. KC, I get it. Your whole identity, I get it. Like my man was just saying, as far as feeding the beast with Montgomery, why not just go deep slants, deep outs, just deep, where it's obvious that those screens and all those Cordell Patterson plays aren't going to work. Just go for the speed. And then we're going to ask, like, okay, why aren't you doing a better choice of things? They haven't done a better choice of things when they just said that, you know, the Red Rifle is going to start in front of Fields. It's really a pattern of missed decisions.
All right, Freddie, we appreciate the phone call. What do you think about that, Jeff?
Yeah,
I mean, I think that he has a lot of great points there.
I think, you know, going deep would also call for them to protect the quarterback for longer. And I'm not saying they can't do it, but when you consistently call everything short and underneath, what the coaching staff is saying, right or wrong, okay, I'm not saying they're right or wrong, but what they're saying is we don't believe that we can run these deep routes because we're going to expose ourselves to the Rams' pass rush. We think our best chance to win is for the ball to get out of Dalton's hands quickly, which he can do and can do pretty well. The problem there is you score only 14 points. So was your philosophy working? I would say the answer to that is no, clearly.
Mike Lombardi, longtime general manager and front office guy in the National Football League, as you well know, Jeff, has a podcast. It is the GM Shuffle with Adnan Virk. And they go around the NFL, and of course they stopped on the Bears and that game against the Rams. Lombardi gives his thoughts on the Bears' offense.
I could hear it now. Andy Dalton was 71% completion. I mean, you know, what more do you want from Andy Dalton? 71%. He's 27 for 38, you know? His long pass was 19 yards. Long pass was 19 yards. I mean, Matt Nagy was in rare form. Going for it on fourth down twice in the first half, you know? I mean, not punting there, going for it, and basically giving up 6 points. Think about this, AD. The biggest misconception in really going into the season is the Bears are good on defense. And we've said it here on this program. They're not. Yesterday, the Bears played 24 and change of defense, and the Rams scored 34 points. That's really remarkable. Meanwhile, the Bears controlled the ball. 71% completion, AD. We got 71% completion. That's tremendous. You know, like that really matters. Like, what do we give? Like, we got to get the ball down the field. 19 yards is our longest pass play. Like, if we don't get it down the field, we're not. The longest play of the game was the early part 41-yard run. And then, you know, why do we call Andy Dalton 20-20 quarterback? Because he moves the ball from 120 to the next, and he can't get in the end zone. And, of course, the first drive of the game, he throws an interception. The Bears, I just don't get it. Like, Nagy, all he does is call plays. He's playing Nintendo in his basement. Call plays, call plays, call. Oh, that's for a call plays, call plays. Got to make a play down the field. I know he was scared to hold the ball because he knows his line can't protect. I get that. But you got to make a play. You got trick play. Do something. I mean, it was a horse and buggy offense. I mean, Al Michaels kept saying, well, every possession they've gotten the ball, they've moved it into. Yeah, but they didn't score any points. The quarterback's job is to get the ball in the end zone. It's not to play good. It's not about 71% completions. It's about Teddy Bridgewater. Oh, I'm getting sacked. All of a sudden, I break out of the sack. I throw it to Albert, and Albert goes and makes it. I make a play in the red zone. You got to make plays, you know? And then you look at the stat sheet and say, well, he was really effective. 71% complete. Yeah, the game was 34-14.
There he is. Mike Lombardi from the GM Shuffle. What do you think of that, Jeff?
Yeah, well, Mike doesn't really like the Bears very much. I think that's been well documented.
He's not a Ryan Pace fan, that's for sure.
He definitely has been flummoxed by this franchise for quite some time. He makes very valid points. My only counterpoint would be I don't think anyone, at least not in Chicago or covering the Bears, ever said that Andy Dalton had a great game on Sunday night. I don't think anyone said that. I mean, yeah, his completion percentage was high, but they only scored 14 points and he turned the ball over twice. So, I mean, I don't think there's any perception being put out there in this city that he had a good game. But what Lombardi says is correct. I mean, you got to make plays. There have to be playmakers on offense. And it goes back to what I said originally. I mean, right now, your best playmaker is your running back. So why not get more creative and find ways for him to get more touches, run the ball more often? Because, yeah, he was the only one giving you those big explosive plays in week one.
312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hit us up on Twitter and Instagram as well, at CapJHood. Be part of our conversation regarding what is more troublesome to you as a Bears fan. Is it the defense or is it the offense? And coming up, a Hall of Fame head coach weighs in on what's going on with Justin Fields versus Andy Dalton. Who's right in this scenario? You'll hear from this Hall of Fame coach coming up next with Jeff Dickerson, Jonathan Hood with you. JD is in for Cap on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
We've got Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock right here on Captain J-Hood. And also Dan Wiederer will stop by coming up at 8:15. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears. He'll be part of our conversation. Jeff Dickerson's in for David Kaplan. I'm Jonathan Hood on the Captain J-Hood Morning Show. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Get into the conversation as well on Twitter and Instagram at CapJHood as we talk to you about the offense and defense. What troubles you most as a Bears fan? Do you know the Big Tuna was on KJM this morning? Are you aware of this, sir?
Ooh, the Big Tuna, Hall of Famer Bill Parcells?
Yes, he was. And you know he was on there because Keyshawn's part of that KJM mix, because Parcells and Keyshawn are good friends. But it's good to get his perspective, right? Parcells is on the sidelines. He's watching games. And, of course, Keyshawn's asking the question about the Bears. The Bears are in a tough spot if they want to play Justin Fields. Here's Bill Parcells on that.
I think that's a tough situation. And I think you could just see by their play selection last week that they weren't confident in their offensive line. You know, throwing the ball short, quick, that kind of thing. And, you know, until that gets better, I think that environment for Justin Fields is just kind of phase him in slowly and let him get his experience. You know, I think I could give you one illustration of a guy that got phased in perfectly. When Russell Wilson went to Seattle, they had a great defense and a great running back at Marshawn Lynch, and he really didn't have to do much. He just had to not mess it up until he grew into the job, which he did very well. And I think that was a case where the environment was perfect for a young quarterback to come in and develop.
That makes sense?
It makes a ton of sense. I think the problem there is that it's probably not going to get a lot better on the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
So Jason Peters did practice yesterday. He was limited. Larry Borum did not. Elijah Wilkinson certainly might start again at left tackle. We know their offensive line issues throughout the summer. And this is the sort of the argument that I would make to people about the Bears' offensive line. Cody Whitehair, to me, Jonathan, would be a lineman, a guard, that would start on most lines in the NFL. I'm not saying everyone, but I think most teams would say, wow, we'd like to have this guy be a solid starter for us. After Cody White here, do any of the other Bears offensive linemen, are they starters around the league? Now, Sam Mustipha is a young ascending player, and I think he's going to get there. And the fact that he's working with Olin Krutz is perfect, right? I mean, Olin's one of the best players I ever had the good fortune to cover. And I think Mustipha has, I think he has the talent, but I certainly think he has the desire to be great, where I think he's going to get there eventually. I wouldn't say right now he's there just yet, but I think he's an ascending player. But the other guys on the line, would teams around the NFL be clamoring for them?
No.
Probably not. So I just don't see how it gets a lot better. And what's going to happen is if they start piling up losses, they're going to have to go to Justin Fields. You know this, right? I mean, this isn't a big secret. He's going to take over the job. I think what Parcells was saying, I don't think Parcells was saying necessarily to keep Justin Fields on the bench. But when you bring him in and you start him, you better have a plan. And that plan better not be let him drop back there 50 times and win the game for us on his own.
That makes sense, yeah.
That's what it can't be.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Let's go back to the phone lines. Kevin is in Northfield on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Hey, Kev.
Hey, Hoodie, JD, big fans.
Thank you.
Just kind of reiterating what basically Parcells said, you know, the offensive, they have no trust in the offensive line and those short dink and dunk passes with Andy Dalton. But can't you create some sort of, you know, space, so to speak, with keep running the football? I mean, he looked, our guy looked like he wanted to be out there. He was running hard the whole game and, you know, in some get Montgomery going and keep him going.
Well, here's my thought on that, and JD is similar in thought, but let me give you my thoughts, and I appreciate your phone call, Kevin. Thank you. I look at it like this. JD, I watched football between 12 and 7 right before the Bears game, and when you see good teams, middle-of-the-road teams, bad teams, take shots down the field that look like they have somewhat of a competent offense, that and then you put the Bears game on, it's like night and day. You can have Montgomery run the football, but again, this is not 1989. He is the sparkling, you know, really quality player on offense that is actually paying dividends for the team, which I love. But it has to be just more than that. He's not going to be an ultra back where he not only is he going to run the football, but also give him passes in the flat 5-10 yards. JD, it's got to be just more than that. Yes, you can run the football, but it has to be more than that in a 2021 offense.
I agree, but you don't have to run the power O with David Montgomery. If you watch nowadays with how you can run the football,
right?
You can run the football so many creative ways. You can have all these different run plays with misdirection and counters and have the offensive line move. I mean, you can do it. It's just the Bears have never really committed to doing it under this regime. Like all the creativity, or I should say not all the creativity, but the bulk of the creativity has always been sort of directed towards the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And that just hasn't worked
you
to
know
the
what?
Point where it has to work.
I would be with you if I knew that the defense could hold their water. If I knew that this was a stifling Vic Fangio defense that can keep teams under like 10 to 13 points, then I'd be with you, because if you want to hold on to the football by running the football and utilizing Montgomery as a focal point of the offense, that's great, because you can beat teams, you know, what, 17 to 13. That's fine, or 17 to 10. But my issue is that it's like that third quarter. A microcosm of this offense is like the third quarter. You're holding on to the football five and diming it down the field. You're running the football. Eventually you do score. You take up all this time, but the defense is not doing their job. And there's where we talk so much about the Bears and a collaborative effort. I love for the offense and defense to have a collaborative effort so you can do that. Like if I knew that Montgomery could run the football and get all, you know, all the yardage and all, that'd be great. But I don't know about the other side, and that's the issue. There's no balance there.
They don't play complementary football.
There you go.
That's what they have to do. In 2018, it was a lot easier to play complementary football because that defense, Jonathan, was so historically great, and they took the ball away and they set that offense up with such great field position that they were bound to score points. The Bears just don't play enough complementary football, and Matt Nagy would be the first one to tell you that that's true and that's a major problem.
Al's on the West Side on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Hello, Al.
Good morning. Good morning. Good
morning, Al.
Okay, now I got a couple things to say. And first, Matt Nagy needs to be fired for impersonating a coach. He's got a big chip on his shoulder because he has to prove himself that he's a better offensive coordinator than Bill Lazor. If he wants to be an offensive coordinator, then promote Bill Lazor to the head coach of the Chicago Bears. They need to put Justin Fields in there because he has a chip on his shoulder, too, because he wants to prove that he should have went higher in the draft. And I bet my house on it, you let that kid in there, the Bears aren't going to let anything happen to him, and they'll win the Super Bowl.
All right, we'll make sure that Lazor knows about all that.
Right. Or laser.
Thank you very much for
thank
the
you,
phone call. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776, our phone number. What is more interesting to you when it comes to this team? The thing that you look at and say, boy, I wish this was better. Is it the offense or the defense? On my side of the ledger, I'm looking at this defense, especially the secondary getting better. Just got to do the fundamentals. Got to do the little things. And we didn't see that in the Rams game. Does that carry over to the Bengals game? We'll take more of your phone calls on that. Also, shot or no shot at the top of the hour at 8 o'clock. It's the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and J-Hood.
Hello.
Follow on Twitter at Cap J-Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Still to come on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show, we'll talk about the White Sox falling short against the Angels. It'll be the third game of the series this afternoon. After JD and I are done, it'll be Carmen and Yurko extended from 10 until 12:30 right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Los Angeles Angels. A 12:30 pregame, a 1:10 first pitch right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. JD's in for Cap as we talk about the Bears. Just getting your overall thoughts on the Bears. What troubles you most? Is it the defense, what we've seen so far, or the offense? As we go to Wicker Park, here's Michael on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Love the show.
Thank you.
I think my thing with, look, we're the most unbearable offense to watch in the whole NFL. That's never changed. If I'm on the defense, I lay down. I watch throw an interception on the first drive. I quit. So, for me, you got Matt Nagy, who has the gift. I mean, it's just terrible. He's still doing that same shovel pass play to Cole Kmet in the red zone that hasn't worked since his first year. So, for me, it's the offense. It's always going to be the offense. It's an offensive league.
Well, it's an offensive league, but it's been a defensive team for generations, right? And so the thing that is troublesome, JD, is that if the defense lets down, especially in the secondary, now you really have problems.
Well, I think the defense took your advice. I think they did lay down and do nothing because those busted coverages, how can that be acceptable?
Right.
You're talking about veteran players. Eddie Jackson is paid a ton of money. Deshaun Gibson is a veteran player. Even Marquis Christian, now Bears fans don't know much about him. He's been in the league now for several years. Like, these things just can't happen. So, you want to know when the game ended? It was right after halftime when they had their second busted coverage. And did you see our NFL stats, our ESPN stats put this out on Sunday night? That Cooper Kupp touchdown, that was as wide open as any receiver had been in the NFL in 3 years. And that was against the Bears.
That's unbelievable. You don't expect that against the Bears. Other teams, yes. But usually they are, first of all, gap sound. And, of course, they know exactly their coverage. And this is not a Kyle Fuller issue. This is just an undisciplined issue. How does that happen? Two major plays. And Stafford's not even comfortable in the offense yet. He's never run around that much. He's usually stoic in the pocket. And he's like, I guess I got to move around here to see if I can get Kupp. And he did.
So I'm watching. I get back from the stadium late Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching the Rams wrap-up shows, you know. Jackie Slater's up there just laughing, yes. You know what, off laughing. Vince Ferragamo. Who was the old quarterback? And they had on the screen, against the Bears in 1982, Vince passed for 500 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Wait a minute.
And they're just laughing. They go, it was so easy for Matthew Stafford. It was historically the greatest debut of any quarterback that had been traded to a new team that first game, that was the greatest performance ever in NFL history. And these guys are just laughing. And I'm like, where's my guy ED? Where's Eric Dickerson? Where's the rest of the crew? I mean, oh, man. Jackie Slater's like, ha, 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 the Bears.
That's all you needed, getting back to the hotel. A big belly laugh from a Jackie Slater.
Then there's Vince Ferragamo just being like, man, if I had to play defenses like that, I would be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Oh, man. That's all you need. You get back. You're weary. You finally got back to the hotel. You turn on Channel 4 or whatever it is in L.A. Like, what the hell is this? Laughing.
It's just a one from one channel to the next. It's just a big celebration of Rams football.
We go. We're the butt of the joke in L.A. Bill on the north side on ESPN 1000 on Cap and J Hood. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Parcells was just on, and he gave the example of Russell Wilson in Seattle. What he failed to mention, and it's the most important part, is that Seattle had signed a quarterback for $10 million guaranteed that was going to be their starting quarterback, and Russell Wilson was a third-round draft pick, and he was just a better player, and they decided just to play Russell Wilson. They just ate the $10 million, and eventually, a couple of years later, he won a Super Bowl for him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Parcells left out a very important part of that equation. And then they had a better player, you know, who was just a third-round draft pick. And he wasn't even a first-round draft pick like our guy.
All right. We appreciate the phone call. I'll let the tuna know. Gavin is in East Chicago, Indiana, on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Hello, Gavin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for checking in.
That game was pathetic. You know, a better high school team. I think the high school team can beat the Bears.
Yeah, well, that's wrong. But go ahead. I understand the point, but go ahead.
Right, because, I mean, Chicago was always built on a running, strong game. Walter Payton, Neil Anderson, Anthony Thomas. I mean, good Lord. But when it comes to Coach Nagy, we have a good running back. He can average almost seven a carry, but then we shut it down for 5-10 minutes, and then we with these drop-off plays. I have seen high school and college, they them drop-off pass goes with colleges and so on. This is the NFL. It doesn't work for the Bears. They need to throw that shit out the playbook.
All right. You
forgot Matt Forte. Come on now. If you're going to get risque, you got to mention Matt Forte.
Yeah, we're not at the lounge. All right? You just can't just throw out words.
That's the national show. Yeah. The national show, okay, when no one's paying attention on the board, you can say that stuff, all right? This is the Men in Blazers, Jonathan Hood show, all right?
Well, I understand, Gavin, you're fired up, but my God, man, you just can't just throw out those kind of that terminology. You're not at the lounge with me, all right? We're not having Crown Royal together. Be careful now. Careful. In 2 minutes, we will have Shot or No Shot and take more of your phone calls on the Bears. Dan Wiederer will be with us in our next half hour as well. JD's in for Cap. Cap and J Hood, mornings between 7 and 10 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.